And welcome to Live at 5 Sports, brought your way by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. We're joined by Jim Suhan, who's been covering the Masters at beautiful Augusta, Georgia, the past several days. And Jim, you're getting set to head back to the Twin Cities later this afternoon. But all in all, the weather started a little shaky, but it looks like things ended up pretty nice yesterday.
It was actually a beautiful weekend. Now, the winds were high and swirling, which added to the drama. But, you know, I've covered a bunch of Masters, and this wasn't the most exciting I've ever covered. I would say this is one of the more pleasant ones I've ever covered. You know, you have a fractured golf world. You have the live people who bailed and took the money. You have a number of people I wouldn't say I like, you know, on the world stage these days. And you end up with a final round where a bunch of kind of nice guys who didn't leave for live end up competing for it. And Scheffler, the best player in the world, shows why he's the best player in the world.
Yeah, and kind of one by one, these other guys, ran into trouble and, just couldn't hang around for the end.
Well, one of the great things about the Masters is, something dramatic's going to happen on the back nine, or at the very least, somebody's going to have to survive, and not have something bad happen to them on the back nine. And Scheffler played great on the back nine, but really you saw every other player, take a risk or make a mistake that led to a double bogey that just knocked them right out. And while they were doing that, Scheffler just kept on grinding. And each day, Saturday and Sunday, both days he had a letdown. Saturday, his letdown lasted for a few holes. And then he just put himself back together and started making birdies again. And, I think that's hard for most golfers to do. When you lose hold of the rope, things start going south, the middle of a championship round, to just fix yourself, immediately and start making birdies again. I do think that's a sign of a champion.
Watching a little bit late last night about, analyzing the tournament and so forth, and I think Andy North was on ESPN saying that, Scheffler's not the type of guy that's going to tinker that much, with his game. He's comfortable in his own skin, I think, is that's how Andy put it.
Well, you're in an era now when people have so much technology, at their fingertips. You have TrackMan, you have simulators, you have swing people looking at their swing speed after every swing. You have, trajectories, spin rates, everything. And I do like the fact that Scheffler doesn't buy too much into that stuff. He goes out and hits shots. I remember when Tiger went through his mid-career slump, and he was trying different teachers and different techniques, all that. And I remember, people like Chamblee, and they're saying, "You're Tiger Woods. Just go to the range and hit shots. Just try stuff out. Just you can already hit all the shots. Just go trust yourself." And I think that both is emblematic of Scheffler's game and also kind of endearing that he just plays the game. He doesn't care what the launch monitor says. He feels the shots, and I think that helps him hold up in difficult situations.
Speaking of Tiger, he did get through the tournament. Is it pretty much it for him, do you think?
Well, he doesn't think so. A lot of golf writers think he should retire or quit, never play again. But he made the cut. He could have begged out after Saturday's 82, and he shows up wearing red with his son. So he obviously really wanted to play that last round. He did not play well on the weekend, but then he started talking about getting his game ready for the other majors. So it's a pretty lively debate among golf writers. Some people think, including a lot of friends of mine, think we should never see him on a championship golf course again. I tend to think that golf can be a very boring sport. He's one of the few players who is never boring. I'd rather see him out there.
All right. Well, the Phoenix Suns, for a third time this year, and I think they said the 12th time in the last 14 meetings, defeated the Timberwolves yesterday. Really disappointing performance by the Wolves, especially, taking care of the basketball with 24 turnovers.
Yeah, bad performance leading to the worst case scenario, them playing Phoenix when Phoenix is healthy and getting hot. The Wolves had a great season. And if they end up with the number one or number two seed, then they get to end up sit there and wait for, to play a play-in team that's probably going to be worn out, probably be a favorable matchup for them. Instead, they have to play a team that's peaking. Now, I know Minnesotans are paranoid, so they think everything's, going to hell right now. But I would say that the Wolves should still win the series. They have home court advantage. They're the better team. They have a deeper roster, and now they have a week to game plan, and they have a very good coaching staff. They have a week to game plan and figure out why they haven't matched up well with Phoenix. If they cover the perimeter and prevent 3-point shooting, they should their inside side should give them the advantage. Now, you know, the X factor is whether Towns is really ready to play playoff basketball after coming back from the injury. We just won't know that till we see it.
You know, we figured it would take a little adjustment just to get him back in the flow because things were going really well in his absence. And, yeah, we kind of saw that, didn't we, where, you know, there was a little more uncertainty out there when he was actually on the court.
Yeah, it's a game of cohesiveness. You also don't know if he's, you know, he's a great three-point shooter. You don't know if his shot is sharp. So people are not sure whether they should kick to him when he's open. But they'll need that. To beat Phoenix, they will need him shooting the three well.
You know, it's amazing these last two games just how far out in front Phoenix got in the first quarter. Both times, I think, what was it, 15 or 16 to nothing in the game at Phoenix, and they got the big lead yesterday. What causes that in a game where a team, you know, is that much hotter to start?
I mean, honestly, you watch over the course of 82 games, you see every kind of game. You also see around the league that it's a streak. It's a, you know, it's a sport of runs. Teams are always going to get runs. Every team has offensive talent. I just think that it's hard to prepare for Kevin Durant when you haven't seen him in a while. I mean, you can talk about covering Kevin Durant, and then you get in a game, and he's a seven-footer with a high release and shoot the ball from 26 feet. I mean, it just, you know, you just can't guard that. And if you are going to guard it, you need to see it to know how to guard it. So I actually think that might play into the Wolves' favor during the course of the series. They will get used to what it takes to cover him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, it's tough to win a doubleheader in Major League Baseball. The Twins do it, and they have to go, you know, a ton of innings to win both games Saturday. And but what a disappointment then to literally hand Detroit that last game with really a lapse in the eighth inning.
Yeah, that was bad. Not all baseball losses are bad. Everybody loses games, but you don't want to hand them away, and you don't want to hand them away against a team you think you have beat and a team that you should beat. So that was a bad loss. Listen, with the injuries, with Correa out, with Lewis out, Duran not back yet, Thielbar just getting back, they just need to hang in there. I still think they're the best team in the division, but these are serious injuries. The fact that Ober pitched really well is a good sign. The bullpen in general has been excellent. Getting Thielbar back will help that. Duran isn't far away. So still the makings of a good team, but they're probably not going to be whole until sometime in May.
Yeah, and Joe Ryan came out just unbelievable on Saturday with that 12 strikeouts. I mean, we'll see what happens now. You know, Baltimore, they're not exactly tearing it up at this point. You know, and then the Twins get another look at the Tigers again, this time at home. So we'll see how this plays out. But, boy, I know Todd mentioned, you know, too, who would have thought of our three brittle superstars that Buxton would be the last man standing?
Yeah, very good point. You just can't predict injuries, you know. I mean, and remember, Paul Molitor was considered injury-prone first half of his career, and the second half of his career, he hardly missed a game. So maybe I think Buxton got the right surgery. He's probably doing the right workouts. He's got a chance.
Well, the WNBA draft tonight, is there any mystery as to who the number one player is going to be?
No, Caitlin Clark's going to go to Indiana, and everybody knows it. Interesting thing is the Lynx trade down one spot to get a backup center from Chicago. The only reason you trade from 7 to 8 is because you don't think you're going to be a good player at 7 or 8. And now they might get a decent player. They might get somebody who makes the team. Maybe Angel Reese falls to them, but, you know, Cheryl would not have traded from 7th to 8th if she thought there was going to be a really good player available there.
And do you think that they should take Angel if she's available? That seems to be a point of discussion among a lot of fans.
I would think so. Very good rebounder, very good defender, great competitor, coming from a winning program. You know, she probably profiles to be a pretty good bench player.
Well, Jim, I hope you have a safe trip home and enjoyed the tournament, I'm sure. And what's next on the agenda? What's your next big trip going to entail?
Now we wait and see what the Wolves do. So I'll be covering some Wolves basketball, and we'll just see where that takes us.
Best of 7, 2-2-1-1-1 format. Boy, you know, it's hard to be too optimistic after seeing these last two, you know, head-to-head matchups, but you never know. Things can turn around, and like you say, I really think the Wolves coaching staff is as strong as they've ever had, if not stronger, and they'll maybe come up with some kind of a game plan that'll work.
I would think so. You know, if I had to bet my own money, I would probably pick Wolves in 7.
All right. Jim, great to catch up with you. Talk again soon.
Great. Thanks, Bill.